So when I preach, I'll give you like a secret, I usually sit with a text and I ask myself the question, what is the good news that makes a claim on us through this scripture? What is God telling us? And to be honest, this is probably the first time when I have been really and totally stumped about that. Because each time I try to answer that question, I am met with some of these feelings, these frustrations. And another question shoves the other one out. And that is, do we really follow a God who asks for child sacrifice? And I want to say that absolutely not, but it's right here. And it's hard to not look at it. And so an honest answer to that question is, I don't know. But what I do know is that it seems like we live in a world that asks for child sacrifice. We live in this world where children are offered up on altars of capitalism and pride and injustice all the time. We live in a world where the childhood of our children is sacrificed to achievement or endless schedules or somehow trying to be above average. We live in a world where children are sacrificed to the media, a honey boo boo world, a toddlers and tiaras world. And we live in a world where children are taken from their parents at the border to prove a point. A world where unarmed black children are shot by civilians who then walk free. In our world, children are sacrificed to a system that is too proud to change. And we live in a world where children get cancer and die, where women desperately desire children and then miscarry again and again. And we rage. Why would God allow this to happen? Why would God ask me to walk this path? What kind of a loving God puts us through this? For if you are all-powerful and all-knowing, O God, surely you would not have tested me in this way. This world can lay claim on our children and can take them, either because of systemic injustice or our own systems of idolatry, or simple and cruel impersonal biology. And when we live this life, we don't get an explanation for why these things happen. And any attempt to simplify these things with trite religious cliches are absolutely unhelpful. And that isn't just our children or our partners or our pets, but also the causes that we have dedicated our whole lives to. By loving, by existing, by being present in reality, we end up on impossible paths all the time. I often hear the quote that having a child is like taking out your heart and having it walk around outside of you. What an incredible sacrifice to make. What a terrifying thing to be asked to do. And so is it an all-powerful God, almost like a trickster, who asks us to make this sacrifice to prove ourselves? Or is this simply the nature of love in a messy world? So perhaps this is the only simple part of this story, that in loving and in following, in being who we are called to be, we open ourselves up to moments when it can all be taken away for no reason whatsoever. And the only way to love is to be vulnerable to the sacrifices that the world puts before us. So I will leave you with two reflections on this story. And the first is, we don't know what would have happened if Abraham had said no. Perhaps the test was not to see if he would do this awful deed, but to walk along together. Perhaps if Abraham had fought with God, God would have said the same thing at the end. Now I know that you love your son, that you are a man of integrity and strength and love, and you believe me to be a just God who keeps my promises, and therefore I will bless you. Perhaps there wasn't a right answer to this test, only a journey to be on together. And finally, none of the things that I have said tonight might redeem this story for you. So if you still feel rage and devastation and confusion and loss when you read this story, that's okay. We don't have to have everything wrapped up in a bow or a faith that is unshaken by stories like these. It is all right for you to be where you are on this, because this faith is big enough for that. Amen.